It's Tuesday morning, I guess, March the 29th, 2011. And I'm Charles Kahn, and I have with me at my residence in Carolina Meadows, Max Isley, who is doubly distinguished as being one of the original of the modernist architects in the region, and as well as that, one of the first students in the New School of Design under Henry Kampfechter. And Max and I are going to chat a little bit about his background and what brought him into architecture, and see if we can find things that we can have him tell us that would be of interest to architects in practice. First of all, Max, you're from Burlington.
Yes.
And as I remember, how did you get interested in architecture to begin with in Burlington?
Well, I had some teachers in grammar school that were very interested in architecture. And in the fifth and seventh grade, I traveled with her as she went from teaching five, six to seven. So she had me 3 years, and she molded me. And in the last year, the seventh grade, I spent 50% of my time in the adjoining library drawing posters and designs, and then she would quiz me one-on-one to keep me up with the rest of the class. So I had some inspiration early.
And architecture was really only the only profession you thought about very early?
Only one.
Wow. I'm impressed. Anyway, I know that when you, when I first heard of you, you were in school at Oklahoma.
Yes.
How did you get from Burlington to Oklahoma to start in architecture?
Well, my family was unable to send me to college. Came from a poor family and we had no means. But fortunately, in 1947, the Navy started a new program for training reserve officers, and essentially a free scholarship. All you had to do was serve for 3 years after graduation. So I applied, tested, and was accepted. And there were 52 colleges, universities that were available. Duke was one here in the state, Harvard, Yale. So they had pick three that you would go to. And I've listed Oklahoma, knew nothing about Oklahoma, Minnesota, and Georgia Tech. And I was assigned to Oklahoma. And it was very interesting to a boy who had never gotten out of Alamance County, catching a train going all the way to Norman, Oklahoma, to study architecture.
That must have been real culture shock.
It was.
You said you didn't know anything about Oklahoma.
No. When I got there, of course, there was Bruce Goff, Henry Kampfechter, Jim Fitzgibbon, George Matsumoto, Stewart, and a couple others. Wilson, he did come. He was a young instructor.
And you spent how long at
2 years. After the interest in Pete Barnwell from Burlington also went to OU. He was a year behind me. I came home at Christmas of the first year and in the summer and was so excited about Oklahoma and Fitzgibbons and Matsumoto and the faculty and Bruce Goff that he applied to Oklahoma and entered in 48. So after 48, of course, after that first year, we go in perplexed. Here's the whole staff moving to NC State, 50 miles from home. So, and at that same time, my scholarship was rescinded, ostensibly because of high blood pressure. But I think the Navy cut appropriations, and they discovered I was a five-year student, and all the pre-meds and all the others were dismissed. So I came home and enrolled at State. And Pete Barnwell came a year later.
Which of the faculty you moved, well, who were your faculty members that you studied under at Oklahoma for the time you were there?
Bruce Goff was in, he taught freshman. And design. And I had, I think, Camp Hefter came in one day when he was out and sat in for him for the session. But that's the only. But the interesting, Henry was my freshman advisor. And he fixed out my schedule. And I got called up in mid-semester by the Deans of Arts and Sciences to his office. And I said, I want to know why you are taking junior English. And I said, well, my advisor put it down. He said, that's incredible. You're a first semester freshman. And I said, well, I don't know. Maybe it's my record. I had some good English teachers in high school. He said, who is it? Wait a minute. He called my teacher. He said, okay. Well, she says, you got to be average in the class. So it's okay. Go ahead. But Henry had really fixed me up. I was wondering. I lived in a freshman dormitory. It was really barracks, from Old Navy. In the base, and all the kids had pages of 100,000 words spelling. And here, my first thing was write a short paragraph. But is it all right?
Well, it's not, you know, that's kind of interesting because since you didn't have Henry as a design teacher, and you knew all the other people who came to State eventually only by reputation, I guess, or by sitting in on some of their classes. Why did you decide to follow Henry? Was it just the proximity to home?
Two things. One, that state institution, and they were going here, and I'd gone all the ways out there to be with them, and here would be 50 miles from home, and it'd be easier for me to go with them. So I followed him a year later.
Well, that's an interesting flight of faith because Bruce Goff usually develops acolytes in many ways, people who become little Bruce Goffs. But so you, when Henry left, Henry came here in 48.
Yes. Right?
Did you come that same year?
I came in 49.
In 49.
I would spent 2 days. I finished the, Henry left in about 48. I finished the year and then came here and came to see him over in Raleigh.
Who do you remember were in that first class with you that transferred in? Do you remember many of them?
Oh,
I'm trying to think myself of who.
Henry gave me a job. Of course, I had no money and I had to pay tuition, you know, on a monthly basis. But he gave me a job in the department. I think $50 a month. And George Qualls was there. He was one there. And of course, George went on and did well. Mm-hmm. You know. So George and I worked on the exhibitions, changing them in Daniels Hall. And I've never worn a ring since that time because I had a class ring on and I was coming out of the wooden barracks. In summer, we had finished painting them. And, you know, remember how the stairs went down through the dark? And I put my hand up to brace myself. And there was a nail up there, and I didn't see. They went right between my hand finger and almost took my finger off.
I remember the barracks very well. To freeze in the wintertime and burn up in the summertime. Yeah, well. When you came to State, who did you have as your professors at State as you went through?
I had Fitzgibbon.
You came with advanced standing and started in what year in Henry's concept?
I guess it was third year. Yeah, I had Fitzgibbon's third year. And other guys were there at the time. Lee Hodgson was there. The other guys. But then after that third year, I had to quit work. Spent a year out. I worked as a ship fitter in Lorain, Ohio, building the oar boats. I worked for Bell Labs, designing Nike and Zeus guided missiles, draftsman. So I had a checkered past, and I'd come back to school and have enough money to go. And I worked a lot of part-time jobs with Pete and Steel, drafting details of connection of the steel members. But then I never had Matsumoto. I missed him. Mm-hmm. I finished up with Caminos in fourth year and Caminos in fifth year.
Caminos, by that time, Catalano had left?
Yes. And of course I was there when Nowitzki was there, but you know, he was teaching the higher echelon.
What was your experience with Nowitzki? Did you
never had any? Experience.
But did you sit in on any of his critiques?
A couple times.
How many years was he there before he was killed? I don't remember.
I don't remember.
He was killed.
It wasn't many years.
Because as I remember, Nowitzki was the design architect for Chandigarh.
Yes.
And was on a trip to India when coming back.
In Egypt when he died.
When the plane crashed outside of Cairo.
I thought it was interesting that he was chosen to do Chandigarh. I mean, what an honor for a young person. Mm-hmm.
Were the students and you aware of his initial designs of the Gorton Arena? Was that anything that was published around the school?
Oh, yeah, some discussion, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was revolutionary. Yeah.
And so you came back to school, and you were in the class of 57.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to think. Bruno Leon was in the same class?
Bruno, he was... I was with him at 1 year, but he had already graduated. I was there at the time, Bruno with Leon, yes, when he and Bucky was there.
And Bucky was there,
yeah,
this year.
That whole cabal of visiting people.
Did you work with Bucky in any of the times that Bucky came?
No.
You know, he had a special design group that they organized from all of the years of the school.
No, I never participated. It's interesting, Pete Barnwell.
I know that Pete
did. And you know, he owns Charter Industries.
Yeah, he and...
T.C. Howard?
T.C. Howard had that Fuller-oriented group. Yeah. We did some work with him. I did some work with him.
Oh, you did?
In that big dome we did down in Caracas, Venezuela, Poliedro. But, well, when you graduated from state, how would you, if someone had asked you, what was your philosophy of design, your basic ideas about design when you got out of state?
I was just glad to get out of there. I didn't have that philosophy. I wasn't finished yet with education at the time. You know, after that, I spent a year at Montana State, in fact, and then went to Harvard to get my fancy degree.
I should have realized that the clock was in.
That's all right.
No, well, let's wait a second and we'll let the clock do its bonding. I took him out earlier, yes.
No, I never had any great thoughts, idea, philosophy of design. I would never ask.
Well, one of Henry's great strengths was he never pushed a particular philosophy on the school. He was a Wrightian and was admittedly a great admirer of Wright, but he never forced the school as an institution to fold into the writing direction, and that was a great advantage, I think.
Yes, I certainly I wasn't interested in being an eclectic architect. The works done by the Germans and the Bauhaus influenced me greatly. Mm-hmm. The Fagus works and other industrial work that had been done by Gropius and his other associates.
Yeah, even before you went to Harvard, you think this Gropius's group.
Yeah.
Eero Saarinen wrote an article in the Architectural Record, I think it was, early in the 50s, in which he described architecture as consisting of the five major streams of modern architecture. Remember the usual thing, the Wrightians, Le Corbusier, Gropius, Mies.
The handicraft.
West Coast handicraft people, basically. And so had you ever thought of any of these as being competing, and why was Gropius the direction you chose?
I just admired the pristine work that it exhibited. When I was on the faculty at Montana State, the first year I was assigned to teach history, contemporary history. And I stole from Henry Kamphaeffer's program, which was ideal, and embellished it somewhat, added to it, and used that as my course. So I have respect for all of them. As a matter of fact, I just happened to. I admired the Green Brothers in California and the handicraft. And the ones that's been on the faculty at NC State, my memory is turning to mush. To pull up names, who's the guy that was at State who came from Texas? He did nice work.
Who came from Texas?
Harwell Hamilton Harris. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the Goff work never impressed me. I remember when I was there, he designed a prairie house excavated in the ground.
Yeah.
And then they had a plastic dome over it. And of course, the heat was unbearable. You couldn't live in it. And he had a little house he designed there in Norman. And instead of a carport supported by columns or beams, it was a big disc hung with a cable. And of course, the first snowfall came. It came crashing down on the two cars. I thought there was such frivolous part of his work. I have Frank Gehry in that same category.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The school, if it did have a particular cant, was one which was anchored in the relationship between technology and aesthetics.
Yes. It is unusual in that, the school. Integrating the structure and applications of design was remarkable. It's not being done anywhere else.
Yeah. When you graduated, had you intended to try and teach, or had you intended going into practice directly? What convinced you to?
Well, I won't see another part of the country, and they have the finest trout fishing in the United States in Montana. So teaching.
So you're a fly fisher?
Yes. And teaching gave me cover so I could fish. And it was outstanding. It was still primitive out there when I was there in 57. Cowboys came in off the ranch and tied their horses at parking meters at the cattleman's bar and the sideman's bar. Trout limit was 10 fish or 10 pounds.
Per day?
Per day. Yeah. And I decided I didn't care for teaching as a career. And I applied to get into Harvard and got in. I just had a feeling I wanted to go into private practice. And I was going to equip myself the best education possible. And then if I failed, it was my fault and nobody else's.
When you applied to Harvard in what year? You entered Harvard in what year?
58.
How long had Gropius been there then?
I don't know, but CERP was the dean there.
CERP was the dean. Yeah. What do you remember about the Harvard experience? Who were your critics? Did you spend a year at Harvard?
8.5 months.
8 months.
He had some visiting critics from out of town. John Johansson was one of the faculty. There was a compatriot of Camino's there. I can't remember his name. And of course the staff. I can't remember his name. But it's interesting, when I left Bozeman to go to Harvard, I probably made the greatest contribution that I've made into architecture. At the time, all the staff at Montana State were all products of Mr. Cheever, who had come from Columbia, had a master's degree, and started the school. And one woman was from Texas. Her husband was an architect, had been an architect. They were divorced. But Mr. Cheever was nearing retirement, and the word was out that I was preparing myself to succeed him by going to Harvard. So immediately, all the faculty took leave to go to Washington, Oregon, to get advanced degrees.
Preparing for the power fight. Well, that's interesting.
But I, after finishing Harvard, I went back to Bozeman for 8 months to fish. Worked for a local guy.
You didn't go back to teach, but
no,
you went back.
I just went back to fish. Uh-huh. And then I decided it's time to get serious about work. And I had connections.
Was this before you were married? Or?
No, Jane was with me all this time. We were married when I was at State. I met her in Germany when I was in the Counterintelligence Corps. We had offices in Palace Adjustments. Uh-huh. And I was walking with one of my fellow agents one day, and I saw this attractive woman on the tennis court. She wasn't playing. She was sitting there twirling her racket. And I said, give me her dossier. So that's how
well,
I
that's
met
interesting. Jane. We haven't talked about that part of your life, counterintelligence. This was one of the hiatus periods while you were in architecture.
That's when I was in the Army. I took the 2 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was during the Cold War with Russia, and the group I was in was concerned with the Czechoslovakian border. And we had field houses all up and down the border, agents who lived there. And I was there at the headquarters in the Palace of Justice.
You have a deep, dark, mysterious side to your counterintelligence.
Yeah, well, I had signed the Official Secrecy Act. Yeah. Can't talk about it.
I won't ask you any questions. I wouldn't want you to be hauled up before a board.
I wouldn't tell you. I was a very modest player.
Or if you told me, you'd have to kill me then.
No.
Yeah. Well, that's very interesting. So then you graduated from Harvard. You went back to Bozeman for 8 months.
Yeah.
And worked in an office.
Yeah.
What was the office like?
Oh, it was very nice. It was right on the outskirts of Bozeman, and Ozzie Berg, he was a contemporary, did contemporary work.
Mm-hmm.
And I had my fishing rods and shotguns there. So if fishing was poor that day and it was raining, I'd go out and shoot ducks and geese. It was very nice. And Jane, she was such a benefit to me. Everywhere we went, Jane got employed without any difficulty. When we first went to Montana, she worked for the Montana's Publicity Department. And at Harvard, she worked for Allied Advertising Agency, and they offered me a job in the art department and graduation to keep her. And we went out to Bozeman, and Dick Smiley owned the local radio station, KXXL. And then Jane went to see him, and there was a job open or something, she went to see him. They'd never seen him when Hurricane was living in Raleigh. She worked for J. Walter Thompson, WPTF, where she worked with George Swartzwy and Selma. So he went out to see Dick Smiley at KXXL, and he was impressed by us. He said, yes, we'd like to hire you. He said, we work Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6 days a week. She said, well, I'm sorry. On Saturdays, I fish with my husband. He said, okay.
When you left Bozeman, what did you do next?
Came and worked for John Latimer for about 8 or 9 years. And then I joined forces with George Smart and Charlie Woodall. We had a practice for a few years. And then I ended up being alone.
And you started your own practice?
Yeah. About 1975, somewhere along there.
And was it a practice with other people, or
no,
were you just a physical?
In working for John Latimer, he had signed a lot of industrial buildings, so it gave me an opportunity to have a varied practice. I designed aircraft hangars, Kaplan's Union, and buildings at Cherry Point, and for the Navy, and a steel foundry up in Canada, all modern. A lot of institutional work, healthcare, primarily Duke University, Duke Medical Center, have been big clients for 20 years.
Which of the projects, if someone were to come and say, which of the projects of yours that you've done were most indicative of your philosophy of design, what would you send them to, just to show them what you believe in as far as design seeking?
I would so should hear, I also, it's contradictory, I designed Durham Academy in Durham. And I saw a recent employee who was sitting in as a headmaster, and he asked me, how did you ever get people to accept this California architecture? Because it's not one building, it's a village of buildings. And they were designed to the scale of preschool and through the eighth grade. And I said, well, the fortunate Board of Trustees had a lot of medical doctors, and they agreed with me that we could have children change classes in our climate, as long as they're on the shelter, it'd be good for them. And we save a lot of money on interior corridors and air conditioning systems, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I've gotten good mileage out of those buildings. I was consequently, I haven't really chased school boards for work. But Chapel Hill asked me one time, they were impressed by the auditorium, which is where the Performing Arts Building, to do something over there in Phillips High School.
Yeah, they were impressed with the auditorium at the Durham Academy.
Yeah, and other people. But, some of the buildings at Duke University, the Center for Living Complex, comprises 5 or 6 buildings. Then you see no influence from East Vanderbilt. But they're still not handicraft as we see at Durham Academy, that field. So I guess I've got some more of this board.
Well, any others that you can think of that you...
Well, Wright gave some good advice one time. He said, when you do your first work, do it away from home. So I have a couple of dogs that I close my eyes for that.
Well, we all, for one reason or another, have things we wish we hadn't done, I guess. It's very interesting. You were in the school at the time of the heyday of the student publication.
Yes.
Were you involved with that at all?
No, I was just a good admirer of the publication. I thought it was exceptional publication, and the fact that it was done by students was even more remarkable. The level of intellectualism exhibited in savoir faire from students. But, the School of Design students are a special breed. I know in a couple of literature classes I took, the professors were all delighted to have School of Design students. Bob Burnson, I think, shared one with LeDuc. I did pretty well in languages. English, I was an A student. Well, Jane and I got married in between the semesters, and I went to Mr. LeDoux and said, I'm getting married in Texas, I'm not going to be in Texas. He said, well, okay, I'm going to have to cut you to a B. I said, that's fine. So I had another guy, a younger guy, that was teaching philosophy course, and I told him, I'm not going to be able to get a packing family. And I said, well, that's wonderful. I said, sit down, I'll give you an oral right now. And he did. And Willie Baumgartner, when I told Willie, I think he misunderstood me at first. Then I got to thinking, he really knew what I was talking about. And I told him I was going to, wouldn't be able to be there. I was going to Texas getting married. He said, well, I thought that's too bad.
How long have you and Jane been married now?
56 years.
Oh, well, that means you were married at 55.
Yeah.
We have been married about the same time, really.
Yeah. That's,
and they said it wouldn't last. Wow. Well, what else can you tell us? That you have a unique position because of the uniqueness of the early connection with the school. I think it's fascinating to think of someone that went to Oklahoma from here and then came back, because the school at Oklahoma had, as I remember it at that time, a totally different feeling and direction than the School of Design had.
Totally different. I can't remember who took over there, but it's never gained any attention nationally or regionally that I know of.
Well,
but you put Kansas on the map since you were there.
Well,
Henry's boys.
Henry's boys. Well, Henry was Henry was a unique person. Did you have Henry's senior seminar
yes.
class?
Yes, I remember. Don Davidson. You remember him?
Yeah.
The football player.
Yes.
He was quite a philosopher. He took a philosophy course, and he used to spout off in the drafting room. Took Henry's course. Henry posted the grades, and I got an A, and he got a B. And he confronted me. Why I got an A and he didn't in Henry's class. And I told him, Don, I can't explain it. He really was upset.
You know, as I remember, Don's playing football upset him
yes.
too.
Yeah.
Henry was not one to brook anything that competed with the time one spent in the studio.
Yeah.
And the football team was
he gave him a choice. He quit, didn't he? Don,
yeah.
Yeah, he didn't play. Yeah, but Don turned into an intellectual. Mm-hmm. He didn't take a philosophy course. He was explaining that in class about logic.
We had talked a little bit, and I remember that in the little piece that you wrote for the history of the school for Bob Burns, we talked about women in architecture and how few women there were in
yeah.
the school. I don't know that I would categorize Henry as a misanthrope. I don't think that was the issue.
I think it's just time and place. Yeah.
There was, as I remember it, there were so few women in studying in architecture. And as I remember it, the practice in the studios was almost to, if I can put it this way, is to de-sex the women. They just were one of the guys.
Yeah.
Lib Lee, of course,
is a prime example.
She yeah.
and her entourage.
Yeah. Well, Lib preceded me at the school. Lib had already graduated by the time I came to the school. But certainly, I'm trying to think of the other.
Jean.
McKenzie. No.
There's one girl in the landscape, Dorothy
Moore. Yeah, but there was someone from Norfolk, Virginia, who you had mentioned.
That's McKenzie.
Well, but I thought, I'm trying to think of someone else. Ralph Knowles, if you remember.
Ralph Knowles.
Yeah. And she went together during the time in the school.
No, I didn't know her.
One thing we haven't mentioned are some of the things that happened in the school that made the school unique. Flat Five, for instance.
Yes.
Did you participate
yes.
in the big flat?
Yes, I was over there one night when Mies was drinking Silver Bullets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was
Dale Blosser and I can't remember, big heavy guy. Yeah, it was a whole culture.
Yes, the only thing I remember of Mies in one of those sessions was we were sitting, as I remember, Mies drank
martinis,
very stiff martinis,
yes.
and he smoked a little cheroot,
yes.
and his little yes. cigars all right. the time. Someone had asked him, Mies, given the character of the difference of the solar impact on all four walls of the building, how can you make them all the same? And I remember Mies was sitting in one of the sling chairs. Everybody had a sling
yeah.
chair. That was the only piece of contemporary furniture that students could afford.
Yes.
And one of these canvas sling chairs. And he was sitting there and he was sipping on his martini and smoking his cheroot. He would take a couple of drinks and puffs on the martini and a couple of puffs on the cigar. And then he looked up, and as I remember, his comment was, "That is a technical problem. They will solve that."
Well put.
And that was the end of that. That was an unusual thing that the school did, because the school had a program of visiting lecturers
yeah.
long before many of the other schools had. My impression was that was because Henry recognized the fact that in those days, Raleigh was not exactly one of the urban centers of the universe. It was a little bywater, not as bad as Stillwater, Oklahoma,
yeah,
but still not very urban. And the only way he could get the students connected with the major people in architecture was to bring them to the campus for short periods of time. That was a unique thing that he did.
Yes.
My recollection is that he turned the visiting people over to the students rather than to the faculty.
Yes.
Is that your...
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's what made it so special to the students. I used to hear them talk about how rare it was for them to have social interactions with these special, important people, you know, after hours, having a drink and talking about architecture and things other than architecture, which I think is makes it very special. You have an icon, a giant, and you can talk to him about things other than architecture and get some insight on what drives his engine or her engine.
As I remember it, one always tends to cloud things according to one's own biases, but as I remember it, what Henry did was to allow the students as a group to schedule the visitors' times so that Meese was not at faculty receptions and parties, but was at the student parties, and if the faculty wanted to see them, they had to rely on the students for invitation.
I think that sounds right.
Flat Five. That was another unique thing that Henry did.
Yes.
Henry was also unique in the way in which he wanted his faculty to practice. Did you ever run into any of those things where he was having trouble with the state architects?
I knew Dick Bell was a partner with Jim Godwin, landscape architect.
Yes.
And Jim Godwin was very vociferous in his comments that he thought the state was paying the architects to teach. They should not be allowed to be competitive to his in private practice. And others had that idea. But Henry Buckler. And I don't think there was a groundswell in that, because anything, anybody with half a brain would want someone who's teaching you to be a practitioner too, at least to some degree.
I should have stopped the clock there so we don't get bombed. We won't go any much past another few minutes, but a couple of other things that come to mind. The way my experience was, Henry insisted on his faculty practicing in some way. And since, as you say, Godwin had the same feeling that many of the legislators had about this faculty being able to sign contracts,
right,
especially on state work,
yeah,
because the legislators would say, well, we've hired these people, they're full-time working for the state, it's double-dipping if we sign a contract,
right,
for their design and not affect their design. My experience was that the way Henry worked that was, the way he worked it with Matthew Novitsky and the Dorit Nareeta. Worked with the local artist, Dietrich.
Yes, right.
Where Dietrich had the initial contract. One of the things that I am dealing with in the book that I've mentioned to you is this whole question of the progress of the design of the Dorit Nareeta. Were you in on any of the discussions that where we were critiquing the whole concept of the Dorit Nareeta?
No, I was not.
Yeah. The way Henry worked that, of course, was that when the commission came up, he had Dietrich hire Novitzky as the design director for the Dortmunder. And as we've discussed before, Novitzky died before the arena was constructed. He was just in design development, I think. It's an interesting concept because of the way in which it affected the progress of modern architecture afterwards. Novitzky worked in Saarinen's office in New York for one summer, as I understand it, while he was working on the Dortmunder. And after Novitzky died, without the plans being complete, they hired Severin, I think, to finish the structural design. And Nick Jurjanik from the school worked as a consultant on the design. And as you know, the resulting design is not
what he proposed
and is not as sophisticated and beautiful as that initial concept
was. It's deceptive in a way.
But it was an extraordinarily clear concept of how you had a progression of structural systems. Each